then we got a couple more places to go. It's an honor to have the opportunity to stand before you tonight and to minister the Word of God. I believe God's Word is always powerful, this message. Because it's from the Word, I just thank God for your attention, your listening ear. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we come to you with thanksgiving first for our leadership and those in authority over us in this world, that we may live a peaceful and godly life. And I thank you for your grace, your mercy, the joy of salvation. And I thank you that the greater one is in us. Thank you for your anointing upon me to minister your word without error. We thank you for your word will go forth and not return void, but accomplish that which you give to us, Father. Every ear be listening. May your heart be a receptive heart to receive your word. And all of this, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to minister to you for a few moments. It's like a continuation of what I ministered on the last time I was here. A lot of times we try to have things new. I was thinking of something else to minister to you. And God laid on my heart Monday that it was, you know, to continue in a similar word from what I ministered before. I ministered, I think, from the notes, I think it was Standing Strong in Troubled Times. But I didn't get a chance to finish. So we want to sort of, about like you ate a steak, you had ribeye this time, the next time you had T-bone. So, but anyway, we thank God for his word. I want to speak to you tonight about instruction to be strong. We didn't get a chance to expound a little bit more on that from Paul's writing. But from the book of Matthew, I want to tell you, I want to speak of what's happening, you know, from prophecy and what the Word of God has to say about the times we've gone through and what has transpired in the past year and so forth, 2020. But I want you to look at this and from the book of Matthews, and then I'm going to 2 Timothy. But first of all, from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthews, from the 24th chapter from the book of Matthews 24, let's begin at the third verse. And Jesus had departed from the temple and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus had told them that they would be that there would not be left here in a stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then here's the third, we begin at third verse. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. You all have been witnessing that, right? At least in other countries and different places around. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and then shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. The third chapter. This also, from the first verse, third chapter, first verse. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. But men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen?
Amen.
What we are hearing, and the things that you are witnessing or have witnessed, things that you came through in 2020, things that you're going through now or witnessing. Let me say it like this. You're witnessing. All of that sounds, you know, maybe in a little different word. Maybe killing of unborn children. Maybe the lack of integrity in our government, judicial system, election just passed, and those types of things. There's a lot of things going on, you know, with a lot of executive orders and things that we may not agree with and so forth. But it's God want us to be strong during all of these times, whether, you know, how it, whether it affect us to a certain point or degree or not. But it does, you know, affect us. And more of us may be fearful. It's just that what has happened and transpired on the earth today is have a lot of people's, in more than we know of, in fear. People have not returned to church attending. We know that there have been certain states and so forth, laws and things was different, you know. We haven't had the reinflux of people's coming back to church. And some is because of fear. But people are living their lives fearing of what's transpiring. And things they do not agree with. But we are to not fear. We are to trust in our Almighty God. What I found is some instruction that we need. And God is dependent on us to be the light of the world. God is dependent on us to be an example of the believer in spirit and faith and in truth. The world need to see something different. They need to see us as powerful as God wants us to be. Not any different. They they need to know the Savior. And we need to be their example to present our Savior to them. We know that because of the pandemic and so forth, we haven't had the opportunity to witness in a certain way. It may be that we haven't, I was thinking recently how, you know, it changed from our, you know, our evangelistic outreach had to somewhat be put on a hold, you know, because we couldn't be in a crowd or welcome people's, you know, who was going out ministry, evangelizing, and so forth. But we got to believe that those times is not done away with. That we take authority over the, as they call it, COVID-19 and so forth, and be able to get back to business as usual. We have to believe. What do we do is the subject of in times like these. You know, we want to do what we're supposed to do, you know. And there are things God would give you, little, you know, give you ideas. You know, you might can't reach somebody verbally or face to face, but there are other ways. And it's just like, I thank God that the live streaming, you know, our pastor's been able to minister. And, you know, and not just plumb stop, close the doors, and so forth. Thank God for that. I remember, well, anyway, what I wanted to say is that we want to listen to him, to how we can make a telephone call and minister to somebody. You know, you may have the number, you may not know all a whole lot about them, but, you know, they may not be saved. It may be flyers or something that you can pass out that will still reach, you know, reach other peoples, or those that's not saved, born again, and you can encourage them, and so forth. So, like I said, the question would be, what can I do? What are we? What is the answer to some of this that's taking place, that we cannot just be stale, be stagnant, and so forth? I believe Paul knew something in his day and about our day as well that we can look at. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I believe tonight that we have an answer to help us in this area of winning. I believe Paul saw this as a battle. And really, it is a battle. It is a fight. It is a fight of faith. I believe that we can learn something from the Roman Empire and the just with the example of the armor that they wore. If you seen in biblical time and in other medieval times, there was armor and so forth. Naturally, for it was in battle, and there was things that they needed to be equipped with so that they could withstand the battle and win and be successful. The Roman Empire, the Romans was successful at the type of armor that they had, that they wore, from the helmet down to the sole of their feet. And it was very important for them, for that piece of armor. Everything had a purpose, and they very well used those in order to be successful in their battle. And Paul talks here in the Ephesians 6, from the 10th through the 18th verse. He gives us seven pieces of armor, as I call it, for living or for life. Beginning with the 10th verse, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The 11th verse says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." 12 said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have it done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and have it on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." Praying, which is the word of God. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." It looks like Paul has our armor numbered, and we're going to look at it in seven pieces. First is truth. What is truth? As Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, 17, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth tonight. The truth must dwell in us. As we confess him as our Lord and our Savior of our lives, the truth who sets us free. Paul is telling us that when we deal with truth, is to deal directly with Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the truth." This is found in John 14 and 6. "I am the truth." To gird our loins also brings out the power of reproduction of ourselves in Christ. Speaking of soul winning, that's truth coming out. The truth is the battleground where we take our first and our final stand. The truth of God. It's nothing like the truth. Nothing like the truth. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in the truth. With the truth. Let it come out of us. Be in our every thought. Be all about us. As we live an example before our children and those that is around us, let us speak the truth. But how do you get the truth? From the word. The second piece of armor was the breastplate of righteousness. To have on the breastplate of righteousness, protecting your most vital organ, your heart. You believe the word, Jesus, acting on what you believe until it becomes faith. Paul says we are both saved by our faith and live by our faith in Ephesians 2:8. Romans 1:17, and this is where our righteousness, rightness with God comes from. This is the armor plate of our heart protecting us from the unrighteous world. We're living in an unrighteous world. We're living here, or we are not of this world. We're in this world, but you're not of this world. Righteousness is ours because Jesus Christ made it right for us. And that's why we are to live and to accept his righteousness. The third piece of armor is our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That can walk over and through the devil's territory. These shoes being the gospel. The gospel is good news. Paul says the gospel is the power of God. Romans 1:16. Paul is speaking here about our real power to defeat the devil's forces. Being saved by the gospel of Christ and having the joy and peace of the gospel in our lives. The good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's tell the world that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved by the gospel of Christ and having the joy and the peace of the gospel in our lives. Living it, showing it, acting it out, walking it out. Not only saying it, but walking and living it out. The fourth piece of armor is the shield of faith. Above all, Hebrews 11:6. Let's just turn there. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, faith from the first verse, it said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. God is a faith God. The God of faith, God has faith. By faith, God spoke the worlds into existence. And God spoke, and men were created. God spoke, and his word, Jesus, was made flesh. Jesus, it is by faith that we please God, and then he rewards us. Paul says that our faith is our shield by which the forces of the devil striking at us are destroyed. I remember seeing a demonstration of the Roman soldiers and the shield of faith that they, the shield that they was using. Everything was made for a particular purpose, and the shield was a heavy piece, square and a rectangular rather, and curved a little bit. But the purpose of it was to protect from the enemy. Now, we talked about truth and some other things. You know, the thing was girded about them and their loins and their shoes and so forth. and we're going to mention the sword, and but their knives and things. I remember this particular thing about that was that they, with not only the shield of faith, or the shield, I keep saying shield of faith for us, but the shield, that they could come around there with a knife. The other person, the enemy, may have a knife, a sword, a knife, that could go over the top. When they reach up, they could just go around the side of that shield and just really stab them, either with a sword or the knife. But all those things was tactics that they used that, to be successful. Paul says that our faith is our shield by which I can send the force of the devil striking at us or destroyed. Living by and in our faith means that the devil cannot get to us. The enemy has a hard time, you know, in the natural, getting to those Roman soldiers with their shield in the proper place. And when we use our faith in the Word of God against the enemy today, it is very difficult for the enemy to be successful against us when we use our faith. Will you use it? Amen. The devil cannot act to us. He can do us no permanent harm. Let's go to Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power. Power to tread on scorpions and serpents and scorpions, and of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Are we taking that verse in, taking it as it says, who we are, what he has given us? He said, "Behold, I give unto you power." And you can use those serpents, those scorpions. Don't necessarily have to be that particular insect or specimen or whatever you call it. It could be other things that's come against you in your life. But dangerous. It talks about, you know, whatever countries these serpents and, well, serpents and scorpions are, they are dangerous. And they were considered to be powerful animals or insects or whatever. And over all the power of the enemy, this is where we are, you see. There should not be no fear. We have all the power over the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. How many of us believe it? This is what the word says. This is what we must have as our armor. We must have faith in his word. How do we have faith? How do we have faith? We have faith by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. By believing in our heart. Not doubting. Mark 11:22-23. Said, "For whosoever shall say, well, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." We shall have whatsoever we say. It must come out of our mouth. Above all, take the shield of faith and keep in faith, for it is your shield to keep the devil from defeating you. Word of life, let us not let the devil defeat us in any way, form, or fashion. We are not assembled here just to be assembled. We don't come to hear our pastor just to just come, but he has a powerful word. Or anybody that teaches and preaches and ministers here, the word of God. The fifth piece of armor that Paul talks about is the helmet of salvation. Jesus says, repent. Repent. Repent means to change your mind. Those who may be listening, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not too late to repent. The helmet of salvation. Changing your mind about God and making a decision. Open your heart to Him tonight. And this is living with your mind always in a state of repentance. That's how we're to live, in a state of repentance. God says in His word to confess our sins. He is faithful and just enough to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Live a repentant life. Live in a state of repentance. Submitted to God so that God's Spirit can indwell your spirit and body, making you His property. I belong to God. I'm His. We are to say. We are to believe and to not doubt. The sixth piece of God's armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. A born-again believer, all born-again believers, must know the Word of God. The Word is the ground for the confession of our faith to stand on. What has it got to stand on if you don't have the Word of God? As a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple, a learner, as a Christian, we must know the Word of God. The Word is the ground. The Word is the most powerful, offensive weapon against the devil. He can't win with the word God that you use. If he did, he would be more powerful than God. But it's really not that. You may let him do that. Because God told us here, we just read it in Luke 10:19. They give us all power over the enemy. All the time. Not just tonight, today, or tomorrow, but all the time. It don't change. Is it heaven and earth? They go away. But His word is going to stand. So I'd rather take His word. Keep it with me. I'm thinking as we are on this, I think it was in Joshua, first verse, first chapter, beginning with the 8th verse, it said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Just another thing of the word. Power of the word. With the word in you and saying the word of faith, we can only become stronger. Not weaker than any weapon of Satan. All we need is a word. And he will literally run and flee because of the word of God. But we must get it within us and use it. Remember the sword that cuts through all the devil's power is the word in you. Remember that tonight. And spoken in faith by you to put to flight all the satanic forces, all of his doing, his demon cause, is the word. That's just important how the word is. The last for the night, seventh piece, praying always in the spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2, 14:15, and Jude 1:20. The phrase praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, phrase praying in the Holy Ghost, means praying in tongues. Praying always. Paul speaks of this seventh piece of the whole armor of God. The only way you can pray always or without ceasing. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Says, pray without ceasing. I just wanted you to see that part. Pray without ceasing. And it's not with your mind, but your spirit. Tongue is praying in and with your spirit by the utterance of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4. Only your spirit filled with the Holy Spirit is unlimited. Our mind is limited. Limited to what you can say and pray about and so forth. In Romans 8:26-27, Paul speaks of the limitation of our mind to pray as we ought. But as our spirit joins the Holy Spirit, constant intercessory, prayer for us, we're able to pray according to the will of God. And our prayers gets through. Also, by praying under our breath in tongues, even in a crowd, you know, is part of that ceasing. We can increase our ability to pray always without ceasing. You know, no, you don't have to all be out loud. You can be in the public just praying. Nobody hear you. I know plenty of times I have to do that. You know, and you get through. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Well, said I wasn't going to hold you long. And we thank God for his word. Did you get anything out of that?
Amen.
Glory to God. But instruction on how to, or instruction to be strong in the Lord is the message that we wanted to get out. And in his word, it tells us what to do. We just obey that and constantly meditate on what you are to do during these troubled and perilous times. But having done what you need to do, you'll stand strong. Whatever be thrown before you or whatever the world is coming to, God got your back. I mean, he got your front. He got your back. He got everything. Because he gave us his word. And he has it. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word.